and I was so moved. And the first day, when I went back home in a bus, I was singing very loudly. But I didn't care about it. So, and then I, yeah, 2 weeks every day I went to the church, and every day she taught me about the divine principle. Then 2 weeks later, Mr. Kubo came to our small city. And
what does it mean? It is me.
It's small, no matter city.
Yeah.
Satsuko Johnson. I asked many things to Mr. Kubota, and he gave me some certain answers which I had expected. Then I admired him very much. Then from the next day on, I moved from my home to the church. Because I was a high school student, I went to school from, and she said to me that I love oil painting. So I did oil paint many years. But she said you should stop this process. And I wanted to go back to that. She said, which is the best way? How do you feel? This, this way and this way. I mean, to go to university or this way, heavenly way. So, in the beginning of the summer, I studied very much, but one day she asked me whether I could do as collecting garbage. Now, I had never such an experience, of course. But anyway, I said yes. I will. I do. Then, from next day, I did it alone with the in a small city, and many friends. What's the other thing? I did it. And when I finished it, in the beginning, I gave the money to her, but she said nothing. One day she asked me whether I could go to the seminar. Then I said yes. But then I went to the seminar, 2 weeks seminar. And I could meet many members. Then I thought, communication channel. isn't it? It's a very big church. But at that time, I didn't know how big or what the Unification Church is really. Because I live in a very small town, city, and our church is very small, smaller than the other one. So. And when autumn came, our Unification Church in Japan, they changed their strategy. And Unification churches in small cities had to cross, and then they went to a bigger city. Then only high school students were there after they went. And at that time only 10 members, mostly high school students. And I gathered them together, and we discussed about our future, what we should do. We should close this church or center or not. And we said, no, we should continue. Then, okay, and who can live here? And nobody
volunteer.
So, okay, then I can do it. And I, from next day, I lived there. And after the school, I went to the downtown, and every evening we did witness, and we brought some people, and I gave a lecture at the Benton School, and every day I wrote.
Reflection.
And every month I reported it to Mr. Cook. And one day I asked whether Mr. Cook can send one missionary to our small city. Because now, at the time, now members so have increased more than 20. So we need missionary. Then Mr. Cook sent us one mission. This is the beginning for my church.
I was born in a traditional Catholic family in the mountains. I'm one of 10 children, and as a reserve of 10 children. And we grew up in a you know, used to play every day and so. But it was, we spoke never about religious things at all. Almost never. Then later when I came to the big town, big city, Wien, so I lost my traditional Christian faith, but I still believed in God, and short before I met the family, I was starting to go to church again, but I was not active in a way. Only I visited the holy mass, but very much in the background. But sometimes something pulled me to go to church, and I was studying at that time on the Academy of Art, and one friend, he was a little bit older than I, and but we started the same year in the academy, and I was in the third year of my study. After Christmas, when we started again, so invited me my friend, one of my friends, to his home. He told me that he changed his living place, and the people he lives with, they live a quite unusual life, and it's interesting. I felt I will come to know this good one. I went there with him in the afternoon one day, and he just had bought a new record player, and we listened to the record, but at that time he couldn't tell much about principles. He was just moved into the family. But some hours later, one brother came from the work, and he was a very energetic brother, and we came to speak about things like Jesus and his mission, and he did not give a principle lecture, but it was more so a talk, just a talk between people, and it was really so interesting for me. Even I believed in Jesus, that was no problem at all, and but I did never think so deeply about has he fulfilled his mission or things like that. But when this brother talked about it, spoke about it, has Jesus fulfilled his mission, and so then it came to me just like just like, it would have been my own thoughts, also, you know, Jesus hasn't fulfilled his mission and so. So just as he would speak my own thoughts, speak out my own thoughts, and it was really so, I had so a feeling, really like salvation, and it was really wonderful, and I felt that evening, also the second coming must have taken place already, but I did not ask them about that, and then I was there a long time, also the whole afternoon and evening, and in the evening we went up to a mountain, it's actually a hill in Wien, Kahlenberg, also you can see over the whole city, and this was my first time I was up on this hill, even I was 3 years already in this city. And this was also a very wonderful experience, also together with the afternoon and evening. The next day, I thought, I would like to go actually to this place again, but how can I go already again to this place? how does it look like? This wasn't a problem. Half an hour later, rang the bell on the door, and they picked me up. and then it was. It wasn't even 1 week later, so I moved in. It was already clear for me on the first day I must somehow work with these people. And I was invited on for Sunday for the lunch. And at that time I didn't think about moving into the family, so but lunch was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 5 o'clock I was moving in. this was at Paul Werner's time. Maybe you know about that. The only difficulty was to leave my friend alone, also with the room, also he has to pay for the, he has to pay alone for the room. So. Yeah, but it was no problem. This was my beginning in the family. I continued at that time with my studies on the academy, and also unfortunately my spiritual father, he left the family at that time, as soon as I moved in. But one of my other friends on the academy, also whom I knew already many years, also we worked in the same direction, as sculpture already several years before we met the family, also many years actually. He moved into the family exactly 4 months later. And this was very wonderful. But I lost, also I had quite a number of good friends. But it was so interesting. Also we lost all our friends. So moving in the family. Also at that time it was really like a knife. but a few of them could make it a time later. So my spiritual father came 2 years later again. Mm-hmm. And
became his spiritual father?
Spiritual grandfather. Yeah, my spiritual, he came more or less through my spiritual son again. Yeah, and also one of my friends, he came 4 years later. Also he was at the time we met, I met the family, he was spiritually so confused and so long away from also from understanding anything. Also he is American. he came to Europe to study art. But also a few weeks before the two parents came to Europe in 72, he joined the family. Also, in these four years, he became so sick, he was almost dying. But he could recover and join the family. After 3 weeks in the family, he could already meet the two parents. Since 1975, he is missionary in South Africa.
What is his name?
John Freddy. He is very tall. Very tall.
Blonde.
I was a little bit more than 1 year in Wien in the family and moved then to Graz, it is the second biggest city in Austria. I was there about 2 years, and soon after I moved to Germany because two parents established a team, a witnessing team in 72 in Germany, and two father wanted to have 20 Austrian members in Germany, and I was one of them who moved to Germany. And there I was 3 months in the witnessing team, and we went through the whole of Germany. And after that, I'm sorry, I mix many times English and Swedish. Sometimes I don't know the title. I started in the printing shop after three months witness in Bean. And also a little bit later other activities, so more on the physical level. And after 6 years in Germany, which was a very, very interesting time, and also the family, over the whole world became, you can say, really very different in this time. It also became much more international than so it was a very interesting experience. And in 78, I was lucky to go to England. First, we were called to the blessing in London. And we were blessed at that time, Carl and myself. And did your work in England 2.5 years. And witnessing team, international witnessing team was established. That means actually three witnessing teams were established. Two worked in England and Ireland, and one in Scandinavia. And I could join the Scandinavian team. And we worked 6 months. 6 months in Scandinavia. After that, for your caught time in Germany, again, and came to Sweden afterwards.
You're not tug of war? Tug of war.
Drog camp. Drog camp.
Drog, yeah. Tug of war. You know? You know? No, she does do not know. No answer from sisters. Inside. You know tug of war?
No.
How can you win this? Hello.
By lowering you.
Yeah, low. Anyway, and your enemy side is more people, and your side you don't have many people. Then how can you win this war?
Unity.
So you know how many members we have now?
30.
30 or 40?
30.
Around 30. Huh? And how many the other side? So how can we win? So to win this, you know?
We have to
So this is tak. This is lo, huh? So two in this. Look at this. The two in this, there are many. You have only one. Then you have to bind this to pole. If you are one with God, you can win. So if you have your God at your side,
yeah.
If you have God, then no problem. I am ready, when you have, you can win. So in many cases, when you fight, they don't think this way. They think, well, they look at this side, but no. You have to look this side. With God, you have to try more to unite with God. Then you can. But if you look at this side and if you want to follow, then you lose. So now, Kari?
Kari? Among your ten brothers and sisters, how many?
Not
the
only one?
Not yet.
Ah.
You are the only one.
I'm the only one.
Yeah. You have to try to bring some of them to our church. Yeah. Karin? Your wife is Karin?
Yeah.
Karin? Okay, now you can come out here and you speak about the time when you were match. About your matching.
You
matched and
left.
Yeah. So you speak. Explain how. And how you felt that time? Okay.
You honestly.
Oh, wow. You can't cheat God.
Yeah,
well, we got a very when we were in Sweden, the oldest members, we got, I didn't know really what it was about, but I had a feeling, and in 2 days we should go. I think it was Tuesday or something, we got to know that we were going to London, to England, and we had to take airplane to be there Thursday, something like that. I felt something like blessing was going on, but I didn't feel mature. I didn't feel mature at all, but I thought that if God wants this and it has to be done now, I want to go to it, to go through it. So I don't know how many you were. Four, five, four, who went to London and came to the Lancaster Gate, and there were already seven sisters that were soon something away, and I can tell the desperately we didn't have so much time, and everything we had to do ourselves. And there were elder women. I was surprised because here we didn't have elder members by that time. And there were mothers and so on, and it was very nice to see them sitting there helping and sewing machines. it's difficult to explain all these atoms.
Yeah, what you said, that's more important.
Should I go out?
You know, I felt like very deep down in there, it was very difficult.
Up and down?
Yeah, I felt very, very dull, so to say. Mm. You know, you were standing in front of something completely different, something completely new, and I was really waving in my of course I was scared. And yeah, we gathered in the grand ballroom, and the sisters on the left side, and that was of course on the right side. And Ursula, you know Ursula?
Yeah.
Because we were together, and we sat just beside each other, and you know, trying to help one another.
To make it more easy, really.
Yeah. And everything started when Father went up and down, and it was like we just had our faces like and I myself, I tried to play like this, but I could not. It was very difficult because I felt so very much oppressed or something. It was, yeah, very heavy. And Father told them that everybody should look up in the sky. And we looked up for a while, and then the head went down again. Because whenever he came a little bit more close, you know. But that was different. I think it took 2 days or something to match. And in the afternoon, we went out for lunch or something, and we went in again. And still I had this fighting, really, to try to be completely unconditional, to be ready for anything. finally, after all this trying really hard to be, to pure myself in prayer with the grand ballroom, you know, by that time there was nothing. I mean, we just accepted. It was just more accustomed by that time, or I don't know, but we were told like that, and we felt that was the only thing we could do. I mean, it was so natural for us to say yes first time. And when after I got such a, I was completely released from this, released and freed. And right at that second, when everything completely left, all these things left me, Father was pointing at me. So it was at the same time I broke through, really, and say Father could do this. And and I looked at to my right side. And actually, I must tell something before, because this morning, in the early morning, when we went, the sisters went from our sleeping rooms, and we went to the other side of the house to have breakfast and so on. Hans was the first brother I saw, in a way. And he was smiling at me and said, "Good morning, welcome." It was so nice, because I felt very much warmth, and I felt there was something very special. And I was happy when I went into the house. And so, Father pointed at me and very hands stood beside me, and we went out together. You know, with the ground ballroom in Connecticut today. Went out on the staircase, and because we were trying to discuss with each other, but we didn't think there was anything to discuss. We just stood there, and he made so much.
And he said, "Yes."
And he said,
"Yes."
And we were laughing very much. And the, some seconds it was, I could see. My ancestors and Hans' ancestors very cheered, very joyful. They embraced one another, and it was a very happy moment. And I also could see further generations, our children. So this second, I don't know how long it was, this moment, it was a very beautiful.
How many children are you going to have?
How many?
I'm not young anymore.
But you have to have friends. You have to have friends. You have to have friends. How many have you? So how many you want to have?
Baby children.
Yeah, how many children you want to have?
One a year. She's 35 now. Mm-hmm. Until 40? Mm-hmm. 35.
Mm-hmm. 1 year. Yes. Yeah.